meditate, how you settle down, you must maintain mindfulness. Then how when you hear the bell, how you come out of the meditation, you have to develop mindfulness. Then all of your movement, action as you come out, you maintain mindfulness. As you bow, you maintain mindfulness. Then try to hold on to noble silence more and more, more and more. Even if you should talk, talk less and be very heedful. Because after today, tomorrow onward, we will go into the more detailed type of silent retreat, where it's for the more serious cultivator. So you have to slowly, slowly adjust. Otherwise, when we reach there, most of it is meditation. You will be less of the Dhamma. So hopefully, you understand the importance of developing this training of continuous mindfulness while in the retreat. If you can do that, when you come out of this retreat, you will benefit a lot. Then you can carry this stability of spiritual faculty, especially mindfulness, back into your daily life. So that is the key thing that you need to do. And always remember the four support. Relax, just silent, then maintain awareness. Don't try to know. Stabilize it. And when you are mindful in the midst of life, starting with kaya, body and mind move as one. Then when you are very skillful in that, you can start to feel your feeling at the moment of sense experience. That is in the midst of daily life. Because in the midst of daily life, before your views are straightened, before you have stable mindfulness, you cannot cope with defilement. Your wrong view will stir the mind. And then you understand how mind moves. Then how from a pure feeling condition you into craving. So this is the beginning. Then later on, not only you understand how craving arises, you will also see clearly how the mental intention based on your wrong viewing or conditioning is the cause of it. Then like I say, the five ways when you meditate, you learn to use it. Especially the first two ways is contemplative. Then later on, the third way is very effective. So in the midst of life, when you have anger, emotion or fear, stay with it. Stay with it. Then let it cease. When it comes, go somewhere quiet, sit down, relax, silent. When you experience the complete cessation of that emotion, you will have a lot of understanding. Then you will be very confident, whatever happened to me, if I relax, silent, it will go away. But the wisdom is still not there. It's just the initial part that understand anger, fear is condition arising. So you move in to the fourth way to trace the origination factor, then retrospectively reverse it. That one needs a lot of contemplation, a lot of understanding. Then when you feel that you are ready, the next time when you experience similar situation, when you live your daily life, at the moment of sense experience, you will know how to deal with it. Initially, you still like not very good. You still like want to stir. Then the moment you want to do this, this awareness with the understanding, contemplative wisdom, they will arise. It will explain to you the right view. People are just the way they are. Then all of this, no meaning. Sankara anichang, egoic mind. Because your ego still like being affected. You still respond to it, affected by it. So the ego has to be slowly, slowly like developed through the wisdom to root it out. So as you have the contemplative understanding more and more stable, every time it happens, then how you react, you will have to reflect again, contemplate again. and understand it very clearly through the Dhamma sharing that I've given you. Like Guang Qing Lao Sang saying, 对也接受,不对也接受, means right also accept, wrong also accept. No matter what happened, that is the reality we have to accept. Your condition like that, things will be like that. So when you have that understanding, you will know how to deal with it. Then according to Guang Qing Lao Sang, whatever happened, you must maintain patience. Patience is a perfection. It's a parameter. So you can train yourself with understanding to be patient with people, to be patient with situation, to be patient with your own emotion, to have loving kindness more and more. Then this ego will root out. Then you will think of others, no more self. No more selfishness, no more ego. Then you understand the form and mind is not you. It's for you to use, to come to this world to do your duty, to fulfill your vow, to cultivate, to be a blessing to all. And this right view and understanding will slowly change you. Then later on one day you realize there is no more delusion. The whole of the evil root of selfishness rooted out. Even at the second stage of sainthood, Sakadagami, these fetters of sensual desire and ill will, especially ill will, is only attenuated. Understand that? Means the second stage of sainthood, they still have anger and sensual desire, that fetter, but attenuated, very much less already, means they are very much less already. But the Sotapan can still get angry at you, because the Sotapan, he still got the emotion and everything. But he know this one is not him, but he cannot do anything because the habitual tendency, the other two factors, he hasn't deal with it. Then only when you root it out, sensual desire and ill will, the first five factors are gone. Then only you can realize anagami shape. When you reach anagami shape, not you lah, your form and mind, you still have five more fetters to severe. And these five fetters, I think the new people may not be familiar. There are 10 fetters or deluded state or wrong view that you hold on to that cause you to attach and cling. They call it fetters that chain you to samsara, repeated birth and death. So if you break the first three, you become a sotapan. First three, the first one is sakkayaditi, self-delusion. That one is the most important. You crack that one, the other two automatic. Your faith in the triple gem will be unshaken. Then you will have no more doubt in the practice. Means you will not believe right and ritual and all those things. Then after that you deal with sensual desire and ill will. Then the last five is where those two energy field ones, they get trapped. You will attach to the form jhana. You will attach to the formless jhana. That is the 6 and 7. Then after that, you still have one more, mana. Mana is minor conceit. Like, you have actually no more selfishness. But that's still a thought, a very subtle thought. A very conceit, they call it conceit, but minor conceit. So you still got this feeling, oh, these people still ignorant, they still cannot understand. Luckily, I break through. So that minor conceit that make it feel like you are better than the rest, is still there. Then like you are special. So that one is still an avijja, understand? That's why it's still there. Then sometimes for no reason, your mind can still become restless. That's what happened to Acchamahavuvadeo. For no reason, that mind that has been trained and developed, all of a sudden become restless, become wound beyond their control. Then he tried Buddho, cannot deal with it. Then finally he realized, not others, come out into daily mindfulness to develop the wisdom, to root out the ignorant. So the ignorant is the main factor that bind. So ignorant, you need complete release. Means you have to penetrate through the direct seeing, the three characteristics. And that one has to come from a free mind. If it's not a free mind, you cannot. Then later on, when all these factors are severed, you will realize arahantship, the form of mind. When the form of mind realizes arahantship, you are at peace, no more rebirth. You will know the holy life that you need to live. You have already developed the understanding. So you become aseka, beyond training. You no need to train anymore. We are no more ignorant. So when that being dies, they don't have ignorance. That's why they will not have rebirth consciousness. Then if they just arahant, they cease. But those who go the bodhisattva way, they have another mind that come out to take birth. And that one is the pure mind, born of love, compassion, wisdom. That's why they have to take the vow, otherwise they cannot come back. The vow to fulfill what they have to do. So they vow to save the limitless living being, take them across. And that vow is a very strong resolve, born of loving kindness, compassion and wisdom. So this pure mind can come out. That's why the law of karma can still condition a form of mind. But it doesn't come through rebirth via karma. It comes through the vow. It comes through their understanding. Then they vow to endure and severe all suffering and vexation. Then the third vow is they vow to study and penetrate all dhammadhammas so that they can have perfection of wisdom, so that they can do this work of liberating living being. Then they will also vow to perfect the 10 perfection, to be Sammasambuddha. So these are the beings that will still come back for aeons and aeons to perfect what they need to perfect. So with this, we go for breakfast, okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we come back at 8:30.